Welcome to Jesus-Centric Life. I'm Donna. I still hesitate when I say Jesus-Centric.
You do. Well,
I want to say leadership, yep. But no, it's life. I'm here with Pastor Josh, and we are here with Harold Beneke. Last week, we had a great conversation about the power of the six conversations, and we thought it would go into part two, and sure enough, it did. So thanks for coming back with us, Harold.
Yeah, I'm glad to be here.
Yeah. So where we left it last week is we kind of began our conversation around Dr. Heather Holloman's book, The Six Conversations. And we really kind of got camped on the fact of loneliness and that we live in a very lonely society. I don't want to spend as much time on that today because I really want to get into these six pathways. But Pastor, loneliness, it's an epidemic is what we talked about last week. Can you bring us up to speed on where we're at?
Yeah, I think loneliness is an epidemic. It affects us spiritually, emotionally, physically. And there's research that they've done on this, and it's true. We as humans were created for relationships. And Harold and I talk a lot about that like we are both naturally like extroverts. We would be more comfortable by ourselves than with other people. And the reason I think for him and I, why we're so passionate about this is because we read it in the Bible, how important it is to not give up meeting together in Hebrews, to be with one another. And that's both hard for us to hear, but also we're realizing in our lives that we do need other people, and we need the deep conversations that bring deep relationships.
Now, for you guys as introverts, as we talk about deeper conversations, does that get you excited? Does it make you more anxious?
For me personally, I would rather have a deep conversation than a shallow conversation. So once I have a friend, and I have some, once I have a friend that I know I can talk about anything, and it's a safe place to do that, that's the most comfortable place for me to be. And so like Harold and I can sit down and have great conversations, but we know that like we can share. Anyway, this is how I feel about it. I feel like I can share myself with Harold, and I have other friends like that too. But I think it's the challenge of how do I get to that deeper conversation? That's what's scary for me, is kind of getting to that place that, hey, you're a cool person to, you know, can we talk safely about this?
Now, I'm going to shock you. I'm a high extrovert, probably the highest you can go, but I don't like shallow conversation.
Right.
So we've had staff get-togethers at Pastor and Sarah's house, and I'll be on the fringe because it's almost exhausting. It's hard to just, hey, how are you? How's the weather? You know, how's your car? How's your dog? That can just exhaust me. But if we can get into a meaty, like I can get into these questions, then I'm good.
Yeah.
And I can do that with multiple people.
Everything you just said I like the terms that Dr. Holloman refers to them as throwaway questions.
Mm-hmm.
What's the point?
Mm. Right.
Yeah. And they you don't go there. But as pastor, I like the if I'm close with someone, like my son-in-law is Ty Sosserman, and over the years we've gotten pretty close. But it's nice to be able to have to express those emotional things that this is what I'm going through.
Yeah.
Or then you can say, what are you going through? I wouldn't word it that way. I see you going through something like that too. So it's fun to have that. Well, Donna, you and I have had a conversation like that. This is how I feel. This is what's made me me.
Yeah.
Right. It's interesting. When we would do mission trips with the students, I would always say to them, have your two sentences. Because when you get back and people ask you, how was the trip, they usually have patience for two sentences. So try to summarize it in that. If they want to know more, they'll ask you more and then just let it flow. But usually that's what people have time for. And it's kind of a rule of thumb. If you have something to say, try to say it in two sentences, because sometimes people are on to the next thing. I think as a whole, these six pathways would be phenomenal if people could really dig in and start using them.
Yep.
I think we would learn all new things about people around us. So with that, I want to take a deep dive, and I want to take a look at these. So I'm going to list them off, and then we're going to come back and hit them all. The first one is social. Those are questions about people, relationships, community, interactions with others. There's emotional, which are questions that explore feelings, moods, how somebody is doing kind of at a deeper level. Physical, talking about embodied experience, health, body rest, physical rhythms, needs. Cognitive, questions about what someone is thinking, beliefs, ideas, curiosities, what they're leaning into or pondering. Okay, volitional, I did it. I said it right. Volitional, these are about choices, decision-making, commitments, goals, what someone intends to do. And then spiritual, which are conversations about God, meaning, purpose, faith. Now, before we take that deeper dive, I want to start with spiritual.
Can we just, can we just talk about for just a second why? So I think we jumped to them, but let's explain the why. Like, why is it important for you to understand this? And my understanding is it's important for you to understand these is because these are six different ways that you might have a deeper conversation with these. And when you can watch for these, you may find that one of them somebody doesn't relate to. And so you kind of change the topic and go to a different one because not every person's going to want to talk about all six of these. But all people will be willing to talk about one of these. Is that right?
That's how I understand.
Awesome.
It.
Thank you.
I had recently, we all know Brian Franz, and we were in a social gathering, and it was a lot of people, and I was sitting at the picnic table, somewhat uncomfortable because I wasn't part of the conversation that was going on. And so then there was just left Brian and I. First, Brian asked me about sports. Well, I don't relate to sports. You know? That's not me at all. And then something about a mechanical something or other. Well, I don't relate to mechanics. And he did one more thing. And then finally he said, what have you been reading in the Bible lately?
Mm. Whoa. Oh.
You know, it lights me up. So, but it took him four things to get to the fourth thing before I was ready to join in the conversation.
That's a great example of that. Yeah.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's really
now
good.
Now I think we're ready to dive into
this. No, that's great. But a lot of times we feel like we're at church. We feel like, you know, I'm from the church. I should start with spiritual. Why is spiritual not one that you always want to start with?
Well, we have to develop that relationship. That's what we talk about, joining Jesus. Mm-hmm. I've always been kind of critical about joining Jesus because it doesn't get right to the meat. No, there's a good place for joining. We use these questions. We develop an interest in the person. We show that we're legitimately interested in them. Then we can finally get to the gospel. Usually that's what happens.
Well, I would even say within the church, everybody's spiritual that's in the church. But we assume they have thought deeply about their spirituality and they understand it. And the reality is they might feel insecure about that. I don't know enough about this. And so that's why it's kind of can be a little dangerous because they feel like, oh, the pastor's asking me about my spiritual life or Harold Benneke is asking me about this and he's such a spiritual leader. And so they might feel like they don't have a place where they can be comfortable having a conversation. They might feel inadequate in it. And so I think even within our conversations in the church, like we should talk about other things than just spiritual.
Mm. Well said. You made a little bit of a face, Harold. What are you thinking?
Well, I'm going to use Dr. Holloman's, one of the examples she gave. She had developed a relationship with her friends at the university. She teaches at Penn State, and they had some kind of walkathon or something. And the other professor she was walking with, who was not a believer, but she had developed a relationship, and she said, you know I'm a Christian. Do you have any questions about Jesus? It lit a fire. But she was ready to ask that kind of thing. But she couldn't ask that question until that other professor had they developed a relationship.
Yeah.
And she got to the gospel, and the lady came and her whole family. It's a very interesting story.
Yeah.
How it resulted in a conversion of a person.
Yeah.
Now, if you listen to our episode last week, you know, I shared that Dr. Holloman starts out each of her classes at Penn State asking students, what is the single most determining factor of a happy life? That's a deep question. And she wanted students to answer this, but they, every time she says, they try to get the answer out of her. So as we look at these six conversations, do you feel that people have a fear of really thinking at a deeper level, thinking at a social level deeper, thinking at a deeper emotional level? Like when we ask these questions, is there a little bit of I've really got to think a little bit here. Does that make sense?
So I don't
both
think
of
it's,
you are looking very perplexed.
I honestly don't think it's a thinking problem. I think it's an expressing problem. So I think because we're starved of relationships, we haven't had these conversations. But I think people think about their physical health. People think about what's going on with their emotions. Something that they think about. People think about, this stressed me out this week. I'm just not sure we know how to put that into conversation. We don't know how to express that. We bought into this lie that I don't talk about serious things with my friends, right? Like that's a lie. Like we should talk about things that matters. And so I think we have to realize that, that people are not inadequate in their thinking about these things. They're inadequate, as am I, in my ability to express these things.
Well said.
Like I have, I'll just use an example. I have, through my health stuff and meeting with my counselor, learned how to express my emotions. Not just that I'm going through this, but how I'm feeling about how I'm going through. And he actually encouraged me to use this as an opportunity to learn how to express myself more. And so I'm doing that. So you probably noticed.
Yeah, I did this morning before we started podcasting. Yeah. I said, on a 1 to 10, where are you at? Because I needed to know how you were coming to the table.
Yep.
And you said a 7. And then you just naturally went into why, which is a little bit unusual for you.
Which is how I'm feeling about it. And so I'm using this struggle in my life as an opportunity to express how I'm feeling about my health, which has been a good learning experience, because I naturally, as who I am, I do not express my emotions. It's not that I don't think about them, but I don't express them. And so it's been fun, I guess, to do that.
Wow,
in a way.
Good word.
I can say that today. No, maybe not tomorrow, but today. And so that's what I would say is, so when we ask these questions of people, we give them the practice to, we give them the opportunity to practice what's healthy for us as a human to do. And what we get at the end of the day is deeper connection with them.
So Harold, you started out last week's conversation by saying you have to have four mindsets. You have to be curious, believe the best about the person, express concern genuinely, and then be willing to share of yourself. And we talked about, you know, where we struggle in those. Where is your strength in the mindsets? What strength do you bring to these questions?
Well, that's, talk about a good question. I was sure to give me 2 days to think of this one. As pastors speaking, one of the, on communion Sundays, we say, if you, pastor gets up or we read, if you confess your sins,
God is faithful and just to forgive your sins
and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Yeah. And so, where do you go to confess your sins? You know, how do you get that? So it's, for me, you really need to have a close personal relationship to do that. And so I have a friend that I meet with quite often for Bible study, and we've reached a point where we confess our shortcomings, our failings, our sins, our weaknesses. And it is wonderful, but boy, it's hard to get there.
Yeah.
Now, how do you elicit that where somebody can be comfortable with you, where they can say, you know, I have a failing here. And I when I really think about it, I think I do see that. We go to men's Bible study. On that Saturday morning, there's a men's Bible study. It's a great group of people, just wonderful guys. And we get where they confess their shortcomings. I can't do that or whatever. And so it's hard to do, but I need to be there myself. In other words, God, you're right. I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I can't hide this. I got to share this.
Yeah. And I hope when you're listening to this, because I know Harold and I've known him for a while now, like, I hope you're not hearing this and, well, that's Harold, but that's not me. And I would say, like, when I first knew you, that wasn't Harold. like, and that was, you know, that you didn't have that. And I think rich relationship with some people, but not with the people that you do now. You have more people there. And I think you've been really intentional about leaning into people and growing in this honesty with them and this deep conversation with them. And I think it's, you've seen the joy in it, but it hasn't been this easy process to get there. This isn't naturally who you are, but this is who you've become with God's help and His grace.
Yeah, I also have my Harold story, but I knew you, I knew of you, but it was actually Pastor's vision for your wisdom and the conversations he was having with you. And we were all three in a place, something happened, and I think it was 3 days later you called me. And it was expressing concern.
Yeah.
And you were like, I've been praying for you, and I just needed you to know that. And I saw the hurt you experienced, and I just want you to know I'm praying for you. And I wept. Like, we don't get phone calls like that very often. And so that genuine concern is what opened me up to be able to share more with you and to know that it was good. It was in a safe place. You do a really great job in these four mindsets and living them out.
Yeah.
What do you say when somebody's praising
you? Yeah, I know.
Welcome to the hot seat. Yeah, we're just going to...
Can I leave now? I've expressed in even the podcast that I was in last time where I gave some of my background, the history where I came from. It's like, oh my goodness, I think they're going to run me out of town. And then Donna asked me, would you do a podcast again? But anyhow.
So these questions or these pathways, these six pathways, they can span the generations, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I think that's where I learned it, was working with student ministry. And we used to take these backpack trips on leader treks, and it was hours that you're walking with a student. And I remember the guides telling us, we're going to let your students be the leaders, and your job is to just talk with your students.
Yep.
So I'm looking at the back of a student, and we're talking for hours. And there was really a listening that I had to do. It couldn't be thinking about the next question as much as hearing them, helping them feel heard and seen and cared for, that really deepened our relationship.
Yeah.
In that.
Yeah. And that's now as far as our relationship here with people that we work with in the church for the sake of the cross, or when we have people that come to the church that are visiting, we don't have to ask them all the six things in the six conversations. Their pastor alluded to that right at the beginning, that it's not, we don't hit them with all of them, but we have to be good listeners, and we have to try to find which one they pick up on.
Yeah.
And then go for,
yeah,
it.
I really like what you said about Brian Franson. Like, he hit it, and then he went for what he knew would be the yeah, win, in a sense.
Yeah. And then the conversation can take off.
Yeah.
And so it's with that, like I mentioned, and I used the example somewhere that I was talking to someone at church that I didn't know too well. We got into I asked about the physical thing of all things, and it really took off. Then we were talking about her dog and everything else that was all the warm fuzzies that go with the conversation.
So as we only have a little bit left, but I really want to take a deeper dive into the pathways.
Yeah.
This isn't like a one and done for you. You didn't read this book and be like, oh yeah, I'm going to work on this. Like, you've really studied and you've really listened for these questions as people have conversation, and you've really honed into it. What stood out to you as you've worked on these and you've really camped in these pathways?
Probably the thing that I guess I would take joy in is get to the spiritual. Mm. Yeah, and you don't always get to the spiritual, but that's what you're aiming for.
Okay.
We're aiming for that.
Yeah, so for you, the other ones are kind of just a pathway to get to the spiritual, a way to connect, a way to have a deeper relationship, so it's a safe place to talk about the spiritual.
Yes.
Yeah. I think that's cool.
And do I have to do that in one setting?
No. But it can happen in one setting. I had an instance, if I can, because it gives me such, it doesn't really give me a lot of joy. We had this, our house painted, and the company hires someone to pressure wash your house before they come to paint. And he was a young man that came. He was very nice. He texted. We were aware. I knew his name. He introduced himself to me by text. And when he got there, he was very affable, played with the dog, did everything he'd do to make himself at home. And so he's laying out lines and stuff, and I was working in the backyard, just minding my own business. And it was, if God whispered to me, ask him if he's a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
And I ignored it, kind of, and he came whipping through the gate back to the backyard, laying out some hoses against some lines. And so I said, Tyler, are you a Christian? Wham! It was just what he needed to hear. He came right over me. He said, no, but my girlfriend is. And then it evoked a conversation. And then I'm standing there saying, okay, Lord, now what do I say? But God helped me.
Yeah.
I went through the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I
think that's the misnomer, is that sometimes we think that people don't want to have spiritual conversations, but I think sometimes people do. And so like if we, you know, but I think that's the value of this, is so like you ask a spiritual question. If that doesn't work, then we'll ask something different. I'll ask like him, I might say like, do you get tired ever doing this job? Like, is this a tiring job, right? And what have I done? I've gone to physical. And then if that doesn't work, I might say, you know, what do you do? Like, I'm a different generation. So like, what do you do with your friends for fun? Right? Like I just asked about social.
Come at it from a different angle again.
And
yeah.
So,
and that's not a throwaway question by any
means. No, it's not. And that's so much different than just asking, what do you do for fun? You're asking, right, something a little deeper. What do you do with your friends? And if that doesn't work, then, you know, how do you feel about what's going on in the world right now? Again, in some ways, that's a dangerous question, but you're not asking them what they think about this political issue, or they think about right now, Charlie Kirk is a big deal. Like it's, you know, you're asking them, how do you feel about what's going on in the world right now? And so you jump through these as a way of, if this conversation, if you get a one word answer or a one sentence answer, you jump to the next one.
Yeah. And I like what you're saying, Pastor. I think the world is in a place where they're hungry.
Mm-hmm.
To be asked. I think people want it.
A deeper,
Yeah, and I think they want, I think the majority of people I talk to, they're in pain and grief over Charlie Kirk.
Yeah.
And they're trying to figure this out.
Yeah.
And some of the ways that the world has responded to it.
Mm-hmm.
I think what would be really easy to do is for us to start interjecting our thoughts and our feelings and everything. And I think there's a place for a little bit of that. But I know the book also hits on the pitfalls, and some of that falls in there, that there's some things you have to also be careful of, that you don't dominate the conversation.
Yeah.
But that you're really still staying with, oh yeah, I feel the same way, and then go into the next question.
Yeah.
So that they know you're with them, that you're respecting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And there's value in sharing, you know, a couple sentences of, I feel that same way, and this is kind of what for me is going on. But, and then, you know, jumping back with that next question. But if they're really opening up on, right, I said, if it's a social or emotional or physical or cognitive or volitional or spiritual, if they're really opening up on one of those, then how do we ask questions around that to keep the conversation around this thing that we're seeming to draw a deeper connection in?
Yeah. And still listen.
Yeah.
There's a lot of components happening.
Yeah.
And still listen. That's a good one.
Again, and I think that's fair to say, like, this takes practice. This is really easy to talk about in a podcast where we all have great relationships, but it's a lot harder with the new person you know, you just met at work, or the new person at church, or the person, you know, that you see interesting and you want to have a deeper relationship.
Right.
I don't have the gift of evangelism, but I want to evangelize. And so in my own mind, I call it take a swing in it, and it's usually a miss. So I'll try. It's somebody that's, you know, somebody working on my furnace, or I'm at getting my car worked on. I'll try to get to the witness part. Usually it's a miss. But
The Holy Spirit works.
I keep trying, I just think that God, that's, so the person that says, I don't have the gift of evangelism, I don't, but yet we can, I don't know if there's an excuse.
Babe Ruth struck out more times than he hit home runs, so remember, even if it's a strikeout, all God has to do is connect with it, and that happens in his time and his place.
Yeah,
but you're faithful for showing up, Harold, and that's huge.
Yeah, Albert Einstein, I think it's Albert Einstein, says, maybe it's Thomas Edison, it's one of the two, but it said, I never failed in my experimentation. I found out 1,000 ways that it didn't work.
Mm.
And so I think I would just give you the permission in your conversations, have 2 or 3, 4 questions in the back of your mind that you're ready to ask. And if one falls short, try a different one. And my guess is if you put this into practice over a long term, you are going to get better at this.
So we're going to put a link to this book in the description of what we're talking about today. We would love for you to check it out. There's also a video from Focus on the Family with Dr. Heather Holloman, and that's a great interview. It really sums up the book well. But I'm gonna give you the last word, Harold. If there is anything that you could say to our listeners about this practice, what would it be? What would you love for them to know?
Yeah, what it would be is Philippians 2, verses 3 and 4. Do nothing from selfish ambition or self-concern, but in humility count others more significant than yourself. Let each of you look not only to his own interest, but also to the interest of others.
That's so good.
Oh, and we could go on that verse for a long time.
To me, it's all there. To humble yourself, to be that humble person.
Wow. I have loved these past couple of weeks. Thank you so much, Harold, for joining us. I do know that you now hold the record for being on our podcast the most, so we will definitely have you back. And thank you, Pastor, and thank you for joining us today. We hope to see you on a future episode.